Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Campus Book Mart is the one and only stop for the real Southern Miss fan. From hats to sweaters and even jerseys, Campus Book Mart has you covered with all the essentials for the Southern Miss football season. With sizes from toddler to large and in charge, there is no reason to shop anywhere else. Call 601-261-9690 or visit campusbookmart.net. Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street across from USM in Hattiesburg.
More free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. I'm glad to be back with my buddies here, Kelly Sander and Dima Mixon. I'm Bob Getty. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. And we got a good show for you today. Scott Watkins with the Biloxi Sun-Herald. Great sports writer about to join us. Todd Walker is the play-by-play voice of Bowling Green. What are they, Kelly?
The Falcons.
The Falcons are in town for the opening of basketball season. First of all, guys, thanks. I appreciate y'all taking good care of everything like I knew you would.
I would try to. You know, Bob, at your age, it's important that you get some rest. Which he's only about a year older than me.
Yeah, so. I caught up on my applesauce. And, yeah. Talked to Al Holder a lot.
Was, cottage was cheese great. And yeah, shuffleboard. Yeah.
It was you, the you shuffleboard. You did miss Kelly showing up on Halloween in his Halloween costume.
No, so, did he really?
He did.
What was he?
Kelly Sander.
Really? That's pretty
That's
scary.
That's pretty scary. Yeah.
Well, the people.
You went as the X-Man Bruce Jenner last year. What'd you do this year?
Caitlin, no. I was actually, people thought I was wearing my birthday suit, but what's even more sad is that I actually had clothing on. They just didn't notice that.
That's crazy.
Scott, I'm sorry to bring you in on this, but it's been a little weird down here for the past few days. We're glad to have Scott Watkins back on the show for the Biloxi Sun-Herald and Scott, I don't want to belabor a bad point, but it's been a long football season, and Marshall's coming to town this weekend. Just give us your evaluation of where Southern Miss sits right now, and what do you think the near future holds, Scott?
Well, if you're a Southern Miss fan, you're hoping the near future holds some names, some solid non-speculation names about who is going to lead this program going forward. It's just kind of that weird tweener point that no program ever wants to be in, no fan ever wants to be in, where you're just playing out the season. You're just playing for priority, just playing for snaps, and, you know, just hoping that maybe the record will look a little bit better because you're not playing for draft picks at the end of the year.
Well, nobody knows. There's a lot of speculation, obviously, as there always is on the internet, but nobody has any idea what's in Jeremy McClain's mind. But do you have any thoughts as to either who or what style coach you think Jeremy McClain will look for?
I don't know who style. I think that I don't know what he will do. I think if you're a fan, depending on what exactly you want, maybe you want him to change up from his style. He's made two head coaching hires, and they were both offensive coordinators, and neither did very well. And I personally don't believe that offensive head coaches do very well in this Sun Belt. I think you look at those two hires, Chip Lindsey, Will Hall, they did not succeed. I think you could even look at Texas State. DJ Kinney has a great year one at Texas State. They enter year two, Caldwell playoff contenders. Now they're fighting to make a bowl game. And that entire season they've got over there just kind of reeks of over-meddling in the offense, lack of program control, and just a lot of things that offensive coaches kind of bring that are problematic. If I were making the hire, I'm looking at either CEO type, a defensive mind, or line of scrimmage mind. Those are all things that have worked in the Sun Belt. Billy Napier, CEO guy. His follow-up, Michael Desermo, line of scrimmage guy. They're now the best football team in the conference. John Sumrall, who was the finalist, the other finalist that Jeremy McClain passed on that Brent Jones hired, that's a defensive coach. Georgia State, they hired a line of scrimmage guy. They go from bottom feeder to perennial bowl team. I think that you're going after somebody that can control the line, that can control defense, that can control the program, because OCs, good OCs, they're a dime a dozen these days. I think that's the route you have to go, and I think that there are options available to go that route.
Scott, here's what concerns me. As a Southern Miss fan, it's been a while since Southern Miss has been consistently good in football. And over that time, I think to a degree the fan base has eroded and have gone and done other things. You know, because it is entertainment, first and foremost. You know, the entertainment dollar is what you're trying to get. It would seem to me, first of all, is that assertion reasonable on your part, that the fan base has eroded because there just really hasn't been anything much to cheer about overall the past 10 to 12 years?
I think that the concern is reasonable. I think that when it comes to Southern Miss specifically, you can probably maybe find some comfort in knowing that you watched your basketball program suffer through two single-digit win seasons, and the moment they started winning, the house was packed again. You've got a baseball stadium that brings in more people than 80% of the country does. I think that there are people in Hattiesburg, I think there are people in Mississippi that want to come to Southern Miss events. They need a winner to come see.
Now, one of the things that had been batted back and forth with the fan base is, do you want somebody with Southern Miss ties, or does it matter? And I mean, believe it or not, that's the big topic of conversation. Jeremy McLean said ties to Southern Miss or Mississippi is on the list, but it's not the top thing. When you listed your qualifications or something that you'd want in a coach, which of those, or does it matter to you?
It doesn't matter to me. I don't think that it's important. I think that it wouldn't hurt to have somebody that knows the area or knows people in the area. I don't think that it is the end-all, be-all. If you're looking for somebody that's going to make good inroads in Mississippi, get a good relationships guy. Get a great recruiter. Get somebody who just has a lot of connections. Get somebody who has connections to good assistant coaches who do have connections to Mississippi. I think there are a lot of different routes you can go here where you can kind of circumvent the whole, does the head coach have strong ties to Mississippi?
It feels like there's not been a lot of noise as far as names per se around the coaching search, and that to me is something that's just been interesting. I know you mentioned a couple of names there, but it feels like, you know, there's been so much speculation, but, you know, they're 3 weeks into this, 2 or 3 weeks into this, and there's really been no clear quote-unquote front runner at this juncture.
I think that's a good thing. I think if you're Southern Miss and if you're a fan, you don't want the school to have a front runner before the market really opens. I mean, we don't even know all the names that are going to be available. There are things that are going to happen over the next month or so. You'd like to have a coach by the very end of this month. I don't think you're going to have any real names for at least another 2 weeks, or at least that, I think, should be the hope. I don't think that you should act so quickly. I think UAB acted kind of quickly, and they ended up with somebody they really should not have ended up with. I think you wait. I think you understand you have time. You really have this full month to work with. Don't rush yourself. This is a very important hire, obviously. I don't think there's any need to speed into anything.
True or false, Scott Watkins, the number one most important thing is whoever the head coach is, they've got to be able to master or already have mastered the transfer portal, even though it's in its infancy still?
I would say true. I think that's really important. You've got to be able to construct a roster. I think that's kind of the thing that's built into that. You have to be good at roster construction, and that is something that is really, really, really tricky for a year one coach these days. You've seen it kind of go two ways. This year in the Sun Belt, you see James Madison flip their roster almost entirely, and it's worked out fairly well. And you've seen Troy flip their roster almost entirely, and it's gone terribly. So, I mean, you definitely want somebody that knows how to construct a roster, knows how to use the portal to do that.
All right, Scott, before we move on to basketball, who are the two best teams in the Sun Belt Conference right now? And if the conference championship game were going to be tomorrow, who would you forecast is going to play?
The two best teams in the Sun Belt are both in the West, Louisiana and Texas State. I think Louisiana is going to win the West Division. Out of the East, I couldn't even tell you. That is such a cluster right now. It could be James Madison, could be Georgia Southern. Old Dominion still has JMU in front of them. I don't think it'll be App State. They're terrible this year. So it could really be anybody. I don't think it matters because the winner is going to be Louisiana.
Vegas says it's Louisiana and Georgia Southern.
Well, I can see that. I think Louisiana is the if Southern Miss is the feel-bad story of the year, Scott, is Louisiana not the feel-good story of the year?
Maybe. I mean, if ULM can get a couple more wins, I don't think you can avoid ULM being the feel-good story of the year. I mean, that is a program that's made one bowl game this century. Yeah. And well, they're year one. Yeah, they're year one under Vincent, and they're doing quite well. I mean, they're overachieving massively. So I think that's your feel-good story.
As we head into the break, we're going to ask Scott to hang on and talk about basketball. But, Kelly, I saw over the weekend the controversy about the coach at ULM. I'm going to tell you that's a generational thing, and here's why. That happened to me. It's another lifetime ago, I get it. But it was not unusual for a coach to grab you by the face mask and pull your face up next to him. Now, I'm not saying pushing and shoving. None of that ever happened. But, to have your face mask grabbed by a coach, to be screamed at by a coach, that was an everyday occurrence.
Actually, Bob, it would have been a little bit unusual in your days because they didn't have face masks back then.
Well, then I was always on the bench. I never did understand why he was over there pulling on my face mask.
The leather helmets. You still had the leather helmets.
The guys on the field would screw up. He'd come over to the bench and jerk my face mask around.
And if you were hurt, rub some dirt on it.
And take a salt tablet.
And get back in the game.
And shut the
Yes. That's right. Wow. You got it.
We'll be back more with Scott Watkins.
Can't say that anymore.
Good to be back, Kelly. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, opening segment of our show every day is sponsored, of course, by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, great supporters of ours and the athletic department. Second segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net, where you find all your Southern Miss apparel and where you need to start your Christmas shopping list. Dickie's is a great catering source, as Kelly and I have used them many times. I've never been disappointed, Kelly. What about you?
Me either. You know, and of course, even at the last second, they do a really good job of pulling stuff together for you.
No question. All right, Scott Watkins from the Biloxi Sun-Herald continues to visit with us. Let's switch gears, Scott. Golden Eagles open basketball season tonight against Bowling Green. Obviously, that's not a conference game. I do like that MAC Sun Belt thing. I think that's very cool. Give us a forecast. What's this Golden Eagle basketball team look like? Now, they won the first two exhibition games, but I don't know, man. It was overtime against New Orleans and overtime against Jackson State. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I wouldn't look too much into that. Exhibition games can get really wonky and funny sometimes. Those are both shootouts. Sometimes you get locked in that, and the tempo just kind of ride that out, and you get sucked into it, and there's not much you can do about it. But this team is built to be a top four team. The Sun Belt is built to be a team that plays a lot of extra basketball games. It is very old, a lot of experience. You're just relying on health. You really need your backcourt to stay healthy, and you really want some guys that have been around for a long time, or at least have been playing for a long time, to show some growth. You know, you're looking at Kobe Montgomery and Tigray Zay. If those guys can improve and grow on their game, you've got a pretty good all-around basketball team, and you really just want to be, and I know you guys already talked about that new format, you really just want to be in that top four, and you've got a chance. Anything can happen once you get there.
You know, some of those exhibition games sometimes play out like what I call throwaway NBA games, where, you know, there's just basically no defense. But if you look at the offensive numbers, Scott, they still produced, and I think that, to me, was the one thing I looked at the exhibition matches, you know, that – they're scoring upwards of 100 points in both of them, close to 100 points in both of them, which is very encouraging. And Denaje Harris coming over from Arkansas, getting 25 and 30 points. That is significantly encouraging, especially once the season starts tonight and they start playing real, you know, locked-in defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really what you want to see out of those games is can your team put the ball through the basket and do it at a consistent level, and that's what they showed, and that's the most important thing. Defense always going to come. Like I said before, those exhibition games, they get you get locked into the tempo a lot of the times, and you're trying new things. And the most important thing is, are you a consistent scoring team? Are you going to fall apart in the last 5 minutes and not get anything? How deep is the team? How many shooters do you have? I think Southern Miss showed some strong promise as far as the depth of scoring goes. But once you get into these real games, a lot of things change. So really excited about this one tonight.
They were finished fifth in the preseason poll. Of course, that doesn't necessarily mean anything based on how the media projected football standings this year. But two people in particular on the individual side, Scott, that I want you to talk about. One is Denaje Harris. You talked about the team being old. This either is sixth or maybe seventh year, I think. But I think from a leadership standpoint, Denaje Harris needs to have a great season. But I think this whole season could teeter on Andre Curbelo, because he admittedly was a loose cannon last year. He was kind of outside of his head. Now he seems to be razor focused. And if that guy is on his game, both mentally and physically, he, to me, is a game changer. He can really make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, those two guys and Natale Alvarez, those are guys that, you know, if they're locked in, as you said, if they're healthy, they are absolutely different difference makers. They create a great backcourt. Harris is a very versatile frontcourt option. If those guys have good seasons, Southern Miss is going to be a contender for the Sun Belt Championship. You just want those guys to kind of stay locked in. Curbelo, of course, as you said, had a lot of moments last season. He has had a lot of moments throughout his very long career, three stops now. You definitely want him to be focused in. He is incredibly talented. He has an unbelievable court vision, keeps the ball on the string. He is somebody who can create a lot of plays within this offense that has multiple perimeter guys, multiple corner guys, multiple kick and shoot guys, guys on the block, guys on the low post. I mean, he has options. And I think that if he can maybe get the field goal attempt numbers down, he could have a real opportunity to be a great facilitator within this league.
We talked with Jay Ladner in the summer, kind of a summer update with him, and he was talking back then about the possibility of having both Curbelo and Natale Alvarez in the backcourt. And now that they enter the season with that as pretty much a certainty, barring any injuries, I guess that's my question. You talked about injuries, but if they were to lose one of those players, I mean, they have to basically, they really need those two players to be healthy throughout the entire season. And that's something that hasn't been the case the past few seasons for this basketball team. So I think, you know, they have all the pieces, but I think some Southern Miss fans are kind of in the back of their head going,
Have they got the depth?
Have they got the depth? Because if one of those players goes out, Scott, the bench is kind of unproven.
The bench is completely unproven, and that's your big concern, is that are these guys going to stay healthy? Because this is an old team. I mean, you're looking around, this is a very, very old team. You've got two freshmen, I believe, two or three freshmen, and everyone else, they've just kind of been around, they haven't really played, or you've got your five starters. I mean, that's really it. So you have a lot of uncertainty behind these five starters. You really, really, really want to see the bench, somebody off the bench, take a step forward, take a big step forward during non-conference play. That, I think, for me, I think that's the two things you're looking for this season: the health of your backcourt and who is going to come off the bench and prove that they are a good, positive Division I level basketball player.
All right, let me throw this question around the horn, all three of you, before we let Scott go. I'll start with you, Kelly. Has our friend Jay Ladner done enough as head coach to absolutely cement his position, or is this an important year for his team to win?
No, I think that he's done enough to – I think – you're talking about job-wise?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, he's safe. Okay. He's safe. I think you're seeing great development at the NIL. The fact that Denaje Harris wanted to come back – from Arkansas. You know, as a player, he had choices, but he wants to come back. I think the health of the basketball program is pretty good right now.
Yeah, I would agree, especially, like he said, I was going to point to Denaja Harris coming back. That would have been my answer. And also the renovations. I mean, he was very much in the know and the works of that and how that was going to lay out. I think he's going to be here for a while, barring some, you know, crazy 7-30 season they had a couple of years ago.
Scott, I don't think there's any question that Jay Ladner has improved the basketball program. You agree with my buddies here that Jay is safe?
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, well, so I think we all agree about that. We all agree about that.
I'm a little bit concerned, though, Bob, when our buddy Scott Watkins is calling the Eagles old when they're 23 and 24.
All right, Scott, before I let you go, I do have to ask you one question. You're a Troy graduate. Yep. At the end of the year, Troy plays Southern Miss in what has got to be the battle of the century. How do you see that one?
You know, Troy's played pretty well these last couple of weeks. They seem to be finding a groove, and they ran the ball extremely well against Coastal Carolina, and Southern Miss has not been able to stop the run. So at the moment, I am leaning towards Troy in that game.
Would you be able to get a ticket, though, Scott? That might be...
I tell you what, Scott, if you have any problems, give us a call. I think we can come up with a ticket for you, brother. We'll get you in the building. All right, Scott. We appreciate you, Scott, very much. Scott Watkins, everybody. Alexi Sun Herald. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I tell you, and he like our buddy Dima here. They're young, Scott and Dima, but they're not afraid to tell you how they feel, are they?
Dima has impressed you and I.
Yeah.
With some of his stuff during football season,
for sure.
Yes, sir. Who's going to win the election, Dima?
I defer to Wednesday morning.
While I was gone, did you guys get a chance to drink any Inda Bay spring water?
I walked over to Corner Market and wanted to be found. So I guess either people really like it and they're buying it. You know, I think people really like it and they're buying it, or maybe they just needed restock.
Inda Bay Springs Water, Kelly, as you may know, is Mississippi owned and operated. And the Inda Bay Springs water is from a natural spring in Stone County. It's premium water with unmatched purity, nothing stripped and nothing added, which could apply to Kelly. Freshness you can taste, hydration, Kelly, you can feel. It's available at Corner Market.
I hope that doesn't apply to Kelly.
I don't know. I don't know what anything feels like.
When did I come back? Available at Corner Market and certain Walmarts. Give them a try. You deserve Inda Bay, Kelly.
But I don't want a bottle that's going to get squashed, though, about these collapsing bottles that are recycled and stuff. You know,
now these are the old returnable bottles, like back in the day.
Out of glass?
Yeah, when you put and the man comes and picks up.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know about that? There was a time when you bought a Coke, you returned the bottle and got 5 cents.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And you asked me who's going to win the election. I'd say make water great again.
I think
that's exactly what Inda Bay Springs
that's
did.
What they want to do.
Really subtle, Dima. Really subtle.
The Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. It's on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. You can tell Alexa or Siri to play. I listen to a couple podcasts. You guys don't sound a bit better than you do on the radio.
You should see how we look. You know?
What is this music? This is doom and gloom music, too.
Some of our audience would say if you drank Inda Bay, that you just feel joyful.
Yes. Or you would feel like a black magic woman.
Good, Bob.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show. You know where it's at, right there in the shadow of the rock. They'll have the Marshall game on the TV if you can't make it to the stadium this weekend, and they'll always have a lot of exciting sports action at 4th Street Bar and Grill, and great food, of course. That goes without saying. Want to say hello as well to the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, and that is Genesis Sedans and SUVs, the finest luxury vehicles on the road. You can visit the all-new and the only Genesis showroom in Mississippi. It's right here in Hattiesburg, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And I said, you know, every time I mention in the Bay Springs water, this guy over here starts laughing at me for some reason. I'm not sure why.
It's just a very specific ad. I will say that it's very wordy and it's perfect. I just laugh because of how perfect it is. And you should go check some out.
Okay. Todd Walker is the longtime play-by-play voice of Bowling Green University, and the Falcons are in town tonight to open the basketball season, 20-14 on the year. Last season, so a good squad. Todd, tell us, first of all, thank you for coming on the show, and what kind of ball team is Bowling Green bringing into the Reed Green Coliseum tonight?
Well, I think, like a lot of teams, that's a very qualified who knows. These guys are all brand new, practically. I think if you look at what they expect, I think they're going to have a good team. I think they're going to have a deep team. But none of these guys have proven it in a real game against real competition. So it's just a big question mark. But I think they feel good about the guys they have brought in. And a couple of the guys that were holdovers were real contributors last year. So I think there's a lot of optimism heading into the season.
Well, we better get used to this, basketball fans, because, you know, with the transfer portal, I'm beginning to think, Todd, this is just going to be the new way of life.
It affects Bowling Green like everybody else then, right, Scott?
Yeah, Todd. Absolutely. We have two start. Well, you got Trey Thomas back, who came to us from Vanderbilt, played for BG last year. Sam Towns, who, when healthy, was a starter or first guy off the bench playing the 4-5 spot. And Dejon Humphrey, who was a starting guard last year. That's basically it for guys that played. A couple of other guys that returned that were on the roster, but were either injured or barely played. So the turnover is immense, but I think the one we do have certainly a known quantity, and that's Derek Butler, who transfers in conference. He comes to us from Central Michigan. He was one of their mainstays last year for a team that had a very good season, and he's a guy that can play both ends. He's a good three-point shooter, which is something Bowling Green lacked last year. So he will be a huge addition right off the bat.
Todd, this is Dima. Thanks for coming on the show. I wanted to, you know, it's so weird because I remember growing up watching college basketball, and it was so fun to watch the players you knew 2, 3, 4 years. In college basketball, that is not the case anymore. I mean, it's not even just with Bowling Green or Southern Miss. All across, especially with the blue bloods in college basketball, the Dukes, the Kansases, you know, all of these teams, one and done is all over the country, and you every year there's just a brand new basketball team. You may have, like you said, one or two players coming back, but for the most part it's brand new, and I feel like it's kind of, to me at least, ruined the sport of college basketball.
Yeah, it seems to me that college athletics right now, they're in the process of killing the golden goose, as it were. I know they're attempting to try and narrow some of these transfer portal windows and trying to get their arms around the NIL situation, et cetera, et cetera. But we are in a very turbulent time for college athletics. And I think for those of us that have enjoyed it through the years, you know, we need to be open to some kind of evolution, of course. But I think also, I think everybody knows within the game or within the industry, if you want to call it that, that they've got to get this back under some kind of control, or people are going to lose touch with their teams because of what you were just talking about. You know, guys are at a school for a year, sometimes 8 months, for God's sake. So, I think you're right. They see it, but I don't know if they can put any of that genie back in the bottle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just, you know, weird because, Kelly, in football, you know, you got to play there 3 years. You got to play 3 years of college football before you can qualify for the NFL. Same in baseball, I think it's 2 years, right? But in basketball, it's only one. You can go to the NBA draft after your freshman year, Kelly.
Well, that certainly wouldn't apply to me. I don't think that they would. You know, Todd, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the art of play-by-play because you do basketball and football. Do you, for Bowling Green, the Falcons, do you prefer one over the other?
Well, you know, I think probably football is my favorite sport, but, you know, I guess which one I like better sort of depends on the style of the game. I think you get into a rhythm much more with basketball. There's a much easier flow to a game and a broadcast, whereas football can get very disjointed because of a number of factors, whether it's weather or injuries or just the type of game that gets played. Sloppy type game can really make it hard to get into a rhythm. So I think for the game day excitement and the atmosphere and the anticipation and the camaraderie and the festival that is college football, I think I'd go with that. But in some days, I like doing basketball a lot better because you get in the flow and things are much more compact in a basketball game.
Well, this game tonight is part of the MAC Sunbelt Challenge that has the Falcons of Bowling Green coming to Hattiesburg. Pros and cons, Todd, of something like this, a MAC Sunbelt Challenge?
Yeah, I think the number one pro is it helps with scheduling. I know Bowling Green and their people, it's a nightmare to try and fill your home schedule with like opponents. Even with this, Bowling Green's got a couple of non-D1 teams on their schedule, which nobody likes, but got to play a certain number of games. So I think it's good there. I think the coaches like it until that February return. I think they all hate that in the middle of conference season, especially when you're the one going on the road, which this year will be the Sun Belt teams. They will come north. So that tends to be a sore spot. But I think right now, beggars can't be choosers, so to speak. There are games against like opponents, similar types of schools and programs. And I think on the whole, it's been a positive thing, and I would look for it to continue.
All right. Will Bowling Green tonight be an aggressive offensive team? Do they pride themselves on defense? What is their style of play, Todd?
Well, you look at Coach Simon. He sort of was well known at Southern Utah for their offense, and they do want to get up and down the floor, and they will shoot the ball quickly if it's there. But he likes to be good defensively. But I think early in the season, I'm guessing this team's going to hang their hat more on offense just because defense takes a while, I think, to develop, especially when you've got that many newcomers. And most of the guys they've brought in, with the idea of their higher-level offensive players. So I would look for them to really shoot the three, get out and run quick when they can. And I think this team will press. I know Coach wanted to press more last year, but due to injuries and stuff, they really did not have any depth late in the season especially, so they very, very rarely pressed. I think you'll see a little bit more full court, trapping-type defense from this team from time to time. But it certainly looks like early on they've got a number of guys with any given lineup that can shoot the three, and they're going to get out and trying to get up quality shots quickly.
Todd, do you miss the days? You've been around a long time. Do you miss the days when you watch a freshman come on the basketball team and then you just watch him mature and develop until his senior year?
Yeah, our all-time leading scorer, Justin Turner, was that kind of guy, that was there for – ended up 5 years because he was injured and played 10 or 12 games the 1 year, but was able to redshirt. Yeah, they're pretty rare nowadays. In fact, as I think about this year's team, there isn't any upperclassman that's played more than 2 to 3 seasons with this team, maybe even nobody that's played 3. So it's a whole different world. But, hey, you got to roll with the punches and the MAC. It's really hurt this conference. It wasn't long ago this was a top 10 league overall, and last year was, I think, 24th, according to KenPom. The transfer portal in the NIL has really hurt MAC basketball, and hopefully they're starting to make the adjustments. I think Bowling Green certainly has brought in a coach that can flourish in this way of doing business, so to speak, but the league as a whole, it certainly has taken its toll. I was just reading only 3 of the top 15 players, first, second, third team all-league last year, only 3 return. Oh. And that's kind of par for the course here the last couple of years.
Todd, we really appreciate your time. Hope you enjoy your visit here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Looking forward to an exciting game tonight.
Well, guys, that's just the thing. I'm not in Hattiesburg.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if our team's going to get back in time for our football game tomorrow, so I have my lieutenant doing the game down there. Okay. And we will be in Mount Pleasant tomorrow, so I'm hoping he makes it back to do sideline reporting, but I'll be watching and listening from afar.
Well, I'm sorry you're missing all the good food down here in the Deep South.
I am too, absolutely.
All right, thanks, buddy. Todd Walker, everybody. Play-by-play voice of the Bowling Green Falcons. Isn't that sad to hear that? The kid that comes to campus and starts out as a freshman and builds his way through his career and everybody loves him. Those days are gone.
You better get to know him as a freshman.
8 months is what he said. They can be on the campus for 8 months before they leave.
Man, Kelly spent longer terms in the county jail than that.
I didn't determine my major until after 2 years.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
I want to thank DBAT down on Hardy Street for their sponsorship of our program. It's a great place to not only take your kids for training softball and baseball, good Christmas gift ideas there in their pro shop. You got a little ball player in your family, you know he's going to like seeing that kind of stuff under the tree.
I have a question, though, Bob.
Yep.
If I can't listen to this show live, because sometimes I'm out, you know, out running errands or whatnot, and I get stuck in the store.
Working out.
Well, no, I'm running errands.
Okay.
I'm not working out. How if I miss the show? How can I?
Do
is
you
there
have
a
any
way?
Idea, Damon?
Well, if he misses the show, he can always download the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube. Or you could just tell Alexa to play, or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle
Hour. That's why he's making the big bucks, Kelly, right there.
He's learning.
You got news and notes, Damon?
We do. We got the biggest news of the day. A firing of a head coach down in New Orleans. Mm. Dennis Allen is out. As we all expected, if they lose to Carolina, we said it with Patrick McGee on Friday. If they lose to Carolina, they may need to make some serious changes. And they didn't wait long. They waited about 12 hours before they made this decision. And Dennis Allen is out as the Saints head coach. And who would have thunk that both Southern Miss's head coach and the Saints head coach would be fired before the end of the season?
Well, the Raiders are also busy today taking care of some coaching changes. Their offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, and offensive line coach were all dismissed today after the Raiders went to Cincinnati yesterday and got manhandled. So changes, you know, going everywhere on in the NFL. Gail Benson felt that it was time to make a change in New Orleans. It seemed like in the old days when the Saints would make a change, their special teams coach Rick Venturi would always step up and be the interim coach, but I'm not even sure he's around anymore.
Yeah.
But
I got two words.
Todd Monken.
Man, wouldn't that be great? The Southern Miss fans, who are also Saints fans, would go crazy if Todd Monken was hired in New Orleans than Shanahan was hired in Southern Miss from Indiana, OC.
But
that's just still who I want it to be.
But let me ask you this, though. If you are Todd Monken, and, of course, you just missed the last round of interviews getting a head coaching position, so it would stand to reason that he might have, you know, different choices. Would New Orleans be your top choice if you had two or three choices?
I think so.
Really?
Oh, I think so. It's an established franchise. It's got a rabid fan base.
They just got to make a couple of changes in the roster, you know, both sides, and absolutely.
A couple of changes.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have a stud quarterback. They don't have a quarterback of the future, which is where, you know, you kind of have to start
things. But if it was between New Orleans and Carolina, I mean, I'm taking New Orleans all day. Or the Raiders?
Yeah.
Maybe Las Vegas would come into
Well, the Browns might be making a move with Kevin Stefanski.
Well, I still take New Orleans.
They turned Monken down one time. He interviewed with the Browns as a head coach.
Well, and maybe Peterson at Doug Peterson of Jacksonville. Yeah. Maybe he might be, given his walking papers
How
too.
How about the former coach of the Titans? I mean, look what's happened since they fired that guy.
Vrabel.
Vrabel. Yeah.
He looked like, to me, he was a good coach.
I think so, too.
I think he was. The Titans made some very questionable decisions in a lot of their changes. One would be sending big Derrick Henry to Baltimore.
Who would get rid of him?
Man, that guy's a monster.
Yeah.
He's scoring me a lot of points in fantasy.
When they're talking about, oh, he's 27 years old. He's too old.
Oh, come on. They're running back. Did you watch that guy this year?
Well, what would you do if he was standing in front of you, running full speed at you?
I would jump on the ground and whine like a little teenage
girl. A trucking
girl.
Position. I wouldn't get anywhere near that guy.
I'd start telling jokes and hope that he laughs at one of them, you know?
We mentioned last week about soccer needing to win against ULM to make the tournament. They, in fact, did not win against ULM, and they did drop the final match by a score of 3-0. The Warhawks snapped a four-game losing streak when they beat Southern Miss, and that would end Southern Miss's six-game win streak. So Southern Miss is out of the Sun Belt tournament in soccer, and they are also out, I believe, in volleyball as well. So, and Southern Miss obviously hosts Marshall this week for football. They're 14-point home underdogs. Southern Miss men's basketball opens play against Bowling Green tonight at home. Women's basketball also opens up play on the road at Bowling Green, so they kind of swip-swap for that matchup tonight. So that is Southern Miss Athletics in action this week and last week. Lots to talk about, and I have heard that local stores here in Hattiesburg is selling brown paper bags for you to blow into if you need a heart, you know, some... Tomorrow night if you're watching Election Returns.
Oh, okay. You scared me there for a minute. I thought you was going to say they're going to give away Indibay spring water as well. No?
They're not doing any of that.
You know, the timing for Southern Miss football, God bless them, because, you know, Marshall probably now is playing the best football of anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, them in Louisiana
and
are playing.
Texas State.
Yeah, and I know Vegas thinks that Georgia Southern's going to win that Eastern Division. I think Marshall. I really think Marshall's going to come through at the end of the day and win that division. And that's not good news when you have to your final two home games. By the way, Saturday's game is a 2:00 start.
Yep.
There have been 6:00 starts up to now, but there's 2:00 this Saturday.
Lee Roberts will be joining us tomorrow to give us his analysis of the upcoming game. Of course, the Golden Eagles were off this week. And we're going to have good guests all week. We're going to be in Columbia, two-hour show Thursday as we help kick off the Columbia Christmas Festival. We do that every year. Remember, you would go every year, Kelly.
But that only means a two-hour show means you and I are going to have to get an extra hour nap or something.
Yeah,
you
know? Well, Kelly, we'll take turns napping. Like they alternate the baseball, you know, when one guy does three innings and another guy does.
Get Al Holder in here, too, you know.
Maybe the three of us could get through 2 hours together, right?
Awake.
There you go.
Back tomorrow at 1:00. Thanks for listening. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
7-7-7 into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle. Let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.